Hello. Now, before I begin, I would like to say welcome back. I know it's been a while. I took a month off just to focus on researching new cases and just taking some personal time. But I'm back now and we'll be uploading again on the regular. Now, today's case involves a lot of names and it's a bit of a roller coaster. So, sit tight. Take time to process this one. I know I did. And just to say, unfortunately, this case remains somewhat unsolved. I'll let you be the judge of that. She's a woman who's been labeled most hated in America, and I'm sure by now could be the world. Today we're going to talk about Casey Anthony. Casey Anthony was born on March 16th, 1986, in Warren, Ohio. She lived with her parents, Cindy, who was a nurse, and George, who was a cop. And she also had an older brother named Lee. The family decided to move to Orlando, Florida, a couple years later. Now, growing up, Casey was very energetic, very intelligent, but once she got into her teenage years, she started this pattern of lying. She starts to push her family away, and she went from sharing everything from her day-to-day life, what she did, how she felt about people in school, to not wanting anything to do with her parents or her brother. Although she still lived at home, her family didn't know anything about her. They did notice that Casey also had to be in a relationship all the time, like she couldn't be on her own. Although they never met any of her partners, like most teenagers, Casey went through the wild phase where she would go out and party all night. So Casey was about to graduate high school, and her parents wanted to celebrate, so they gave out invitations to people in the neighborhood, friends, family, and the day before her graduation, her parents called the school and asked about the ceremony, as Casey never mentioned anything. That's when they find out that Casey wasn't even going to graduate. She was failing most of her classes. Honestly, right now, I'm not saying I blame the parents, but I feel like if they were more like pushy about her life, like, oh, you shouldn't be partying all the time, and what is with all the lying and stuff like that, maybe she could have been graduating. Maybe she would have, worked better for her classes and stuff. But instead, she's out partying, and it didn't seem like her parents were gonna stop her. So instead of trying to finish high school, Casey decides to drop out soon after she got a job at Universal Studios at Hard Rock Cafe. After work, she would return home and tell her parents about her day, talk about her coworkers, and just seem to be the old Casey. That's a start. I mean, at least she didn't drop out and do nothing. At least she was looking for a job and found a job, which is good. January 2005, Casey meets Jesse Grund. They fall in love, and at this point, Casey is 19 years old and becomes pregnant. She tells her friends that she didn't want to keep the baby and that her plan was to put the baby up for adoption. That way, she can continue living her life without worrying for a child, continue partying, doing teenage stuff. I mean, honestly, I get where she's coming from. I think at 19 I wouldn't be ready for a baby either. And I mean, at least she was trying to think of a better thing for the kid, like adoption. At least she wasn't going through abortion. At least adoption would have been a good choice just so that the kid has a chance. So good for her for being smart on that part. So months go by, and Casey is wearing baggy clothes, but she's quite petite, so she didn't really show much. By 7 months, she decides to tell her parents and her plan of what she wanted to do, the adoption. Her parents tell her adoption would not be an option. She would be keeping this baby. Okay, I get like she's petite, but man, 7 months, and you hid that from your parents? That's insane. 'Cause even if you were petite and trying to hide it and stuff and wearing baggy clothes, you would still see a bump, right? Like, yeah, she wasn't showing much, but she would have been showing something. And I think if her parents were really like, I guess like more into her life kind of thing, like communication wise, they would have noticed from the start. August 5th, 2005, Casey gives birth to a healthy baby girl who she named Kaylee Marie Anthony. Casey tells her parents that Jesse was the father. Later, she would tell her mom that the real father died in an accident, but then have another story later, and it was just a never a straight answer. So she's back to her lying. Her parents wanted the pregnancy to be kept a secret. Even Lee, her brother, never knew. He was furious about that. Like, he never came to the hospital when Kaylee was born, and this caused a lot of problems in the family. First off, I want to say, how the hell do you live under the same roof as your whole family and you never realize that your sister was pregnant? And, like, okay, sure, like, maybe some siblings don't have a great, like, relationship, but, like, Ali, she even told her parents and she didn't even talk to them, right? And it's like, I just don't understand that. It's like, you would know. And I don't understand why the parents would want to keep her pregnancy, like, a secret. Because, like, eventually someone would find out, because it's like, where did the baby come from? On New Year's Eve, Jesse proposed to Casey, saying that he wanted the family to be together. At the time, Casey enlisted help from a nanny who called herself Zanny. Zenaida Fernandez Gonzalez was her real name. When her parents asked her where she found Zanny, Casey explained that the IT guy at work introduced her to his ex-girlfriend, Zanny. He also paid her to watch his son and Kaylee. But why is the IT guy paying for the care of her child? It makes no sense. But hey, she found a nanny, right? At least she's getting help and she's not like abandoning the kid. Cindy recalls Kaylee talking about Zanny and her dog. But besides Casey, no one has actually ever met Zanny. Jesse ends up getting a DNA test to determine if he was the father. The lie detector determined that he was not the father. That's it. That's it for the Maury Show. Just kidding. Devastated, but still wanting to make things work. Good on him, man. Even though he found out it wasn't his kid, he's still trying to make it work. Good on him. May 2006, Jesse breaks off the engagement, saying that Casey's behavior was becoming more erratic and becoming a different person. Time goes on and Casey moves on. Casey goes partying with her friends, and that's where she meets Tony, an aspiring DJ. Oh no. The two start dating, and Casey would bring Kaylee over to Tony's apartment, which he shared with roommates. They spent a lot of time there, although Casey still lived at home with her parents. Her parents helped take care of Kaylee, so Kaylee had her own room. Her parents, like, Casey's parents fed her and clothed her and basically treated Kaylee like their own. That's some great grandparents that girl has. And not to mention, yeah, Casey better be so grateful for her parents for doing that, because if it was me, my parents would be like, you're on your own, girl. But also, my parents would also be like, you're a parent, why are you going out partying and doing all this crazy shit when you have a daughter to take care of? But my dad's all about responsibilities. On June 15th, 2008, there was a heated argument within the family. The next morning, Casey left with Kaylee for a work trip to Tampa, Florida. She was angry and packed a bag to stay a while. What I want to know is, for this work trip, are they paying for your stay? Because for you to be packing bags and staying a while, I'm guessing not. Unless you're just gonna pay for the extra nights or whatever the heck. But at the same time, wouldn't you be scheduled for work? Like, what would you tell your work? Right? I don't know. Also, it doesn't make any sense. She works at the Hard Rock Cafe. What work trip are you going on if you work at Universal Studios? What? June 12th, 2008, that was the last day Kaylee was seen alive. What happened was that Kaylee left with Casey, and Casey headed to Tony's apartment, but when she got there, Kaylee wasn't with her. When asked about Kaylee's whereabouts, Casey would have an excuse. Oh, she's with Sanny. Or she would make something up like, oh, she's sleeping at the moment. Casey ends up staying at Tony's for a month. Every time her mom would call to check up and ask about Kaylee, Casey gave a different excuse. Now, during this month's vacation, Casey partied more than ever. She participated in a sexy body contest at a local club. She was out drinking with her friends every night. Tony was the DJ, so wherever he was going, Casey would follow. This poor girl, her mom is like the role model, right? Like, Casey is the role model mother. Mother of the year. I don't know, like, and I'm like wondering, like, if she's out partying, where is Kaylee? Is she actually with Zanny? Like, what? Now, during this time, MySpace was a very popular, like, social site. So Casey would post pictures of her dancing, drinking, partying while standing on top of tables at bars. She also got a tattoo that says Bella Vita, which means beautiful life. Man, imagine all the people just on MySpace and they see these photos. Like, my first initial thought would be like, man, I wonder who's caring for her child for her to be able to do all this, you know? So, during this time that Casey was working for Universal Studios, her parents gave her the family car because she didn't have one of her own and she would drive it around for work-related purposes. One day, Casey drives to a check cashing place. She makes it there on empty. She runs out of gas, and she knows that getting it towed would mean using her whole paycheck. So instead, she decides to just abandon the car, and after a while, that cash checking place calls a tow truck and tells them, like, oh, there's this car that's been abandoned here for so long. Can you please just come take it, right? So the tow truck guy comes and he takes the car into the pound, and while it's there, they call George and they're like, hey, listen, your car is impounded here. If you want, you can come pick it up. So I'm pretty sure at this point her father must be furious, because I know my dad would be, because he'd be like, how did you get this, like, how did this happen, you know? So George heads down to the pound, and he pays the guy for the car. Once he opens the door, him and the worker at the pound smell something foul. The worker says it smells like a dead body. George takes the car home at this point, and when he gets home into the driveway, Cindy's there, and the two of them are pissed, right? Which they have a right to be, because I mean, like, you had to pay to get your car back, a car that you gave to your daughter so that she could drive it to work, right? Like, what is it doing there? Oh, and side note, if you know that you're low on gas and you're like hitting empty, why not just go get gas? Then you wouldn't have this problem to begin with. George tells Cindy to smell the car, and she agrees that it does smell foul. They pop open the trunk, find a trash bag, and they didn't bother to look inside, and they just took it to the trash bin. Cindy then says that they used a whole bottle of Febreze for the car, leaving all the doors open to air out the fume. At this point, Cindy is furious, so she's demanding answers and to all the questions that she's been asking, like, where is Kaylee? Where are you? Like, what is going on? When are you coming home? How come I can never talk to Kaylee? You know? And she has a right to question that, because it's like, what the fuck? Right? Like, how is she always at Zanny's? Or whatever the excuse is, like the minute she calls. But with no luck of getting any answer, Cindy decides she's gonna head over there herself. So she heads over to Tony's, and once there, she asks, "Where's Casey?" And Tony leads her into the living room where Cindy notices that drugs is all over the house, and they're all just sitting around getting high. So Cindy asks, "What are you doing? Where's Kaylee?" And at this point, Cindy's had enough, so she grabs Casey and she's like, "We are going home now." Which, I mean, honestly, yeah, that's a proper parent reaction, right? You don't expect to go and look for your child and find that they're just sitting there getting high all day. While, meanwhile, the car was impounded. And, you know, like, they were supposed to be, quote-unquote, at work, right? Or whatever the case may be with her work trip, so she said. Right? And, again, where's Kaylee, right? So they get back to the house, and Cindy calls the cops stating that Casey stole the family car and that she abandoned it. At this point, like, I don't blame her. Cindy ends up calling 911 three times. The first time she says, "I have someone here who I need arrested in my home." The second time she says, "I have a possible 3-year-old missing." And the third time she says, "I have a 3-year-old who's been missing for a month." And while waiting for the authorities, Cindy overhears a conversation between Casey and Lee. So Casey's telling Lee, "I met Zanny, the nanny, at the park to give her Kaylee, and when she arrived, Zanny held Kaylee close to her and pushed me away, saying how she's taking Kaylee and she would not be giving her back." So after this, after hearing this, Cindy is like, "What the fuck?" Right? So she's calling 911 again, and this time she's demanding to speak to an officer, saying, "I believe that Kaylee has been taken by her babysitter and has been missing for a month." Cindy then proceeds to say, "I told you, my daughter has been missing for a month and I just found her, but I can't find my granddaughter, and there's something seriously wrong. I found my daughter's car and it smells like there's been a dead body in the damn car, and it smells like it's been there for a while." So during this time, like, while talking to dispatch, Cindy's, like, trying to force Casey to talk to dispatch. So Casey tells them she knows who took her daughter and that the number for the nanny is no longer in service. Casey then continues to say that she's spoken to the nanny on July 9th on the phone and again on July 15th when she was allowed to speak to Kaylee. And that she's been talking to the nanny through MySpace, and Zanny the nanny has been telling her how Kaylee's doing and how she can get Kaylee back on her birthday. And at this point, this is bullshit, right? So Cindy's like thinking, "This is the dumbest story I've ever heard. Why are you not more concerned about your daughter?" Which, totally agree. Why is she not concerned about her daughter? Like, first off, it's so weird. If somebody is trying to take your baby, okay, and like she said that Zanny is pushing her away and not letting her take her baby back. First off, why are you not fighting it? That's your baby, right? You should be fighting about that. Like, you should be like, "No, you're not allowed. I will call the cops on you. Da 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 da." And like, second of all, I agree with Cindy. Like, this is the dumbest story I've ever heard. Like, what the fuck? First off, if this happened at whatever day that you gave Kaylee to Zanny and Zanny told you all of that, why are you not reporting it to the police day of, right? Like, what? Why is it taking you a whole month? And for your mom to call 911 like three times before you even tell them anything. And your mom had to force you to talk to the dispatch? There is something seriously wrong. The police finally arrive, and when they do, they ask Casey to show them the last place she saw Zanny. She takes them to Sawgrass Apartments and identifies which one was Zanny's. Casey says that that's where she dropped Kaylee off. Which, if you remember, Cindy overheard her saying that she dropped her off with, or to Zanny at the park. So that's a lie. So she gives the description of Zanny, that she was 25 years old, 5'7", 140 pounds, black hair, perfect teeth, from New York, and she was a perfect 10. I don't know how this is any crucial, like, description. Perfect 10. Like, I don't know how that's gonna help, but okay. She then tells them that Zanny was a co-worker of hers at Universal Studios and that she was a black Puerto Rican woman. So, one of the officers is writing this down while the other is, like, knocking on the door. And they didn't get an answer. So, they look through the window, and it looked like nobody ever lived there. So they go and talk to the landlord of the apartment, who informs them that the place has been vacant since March. The police ask for surveillance videos from the parking lot and the day that Casey quote-unquote dropped Kaylee off. This video showed that no one was there. Not Zanny, not Casey, not Kaylee. So, the police now know that Casey is lying. This bitch is so dumb. Like, I just don't understand. Like, first off, how do you even keep up with all these lies? How? I would have the biggest headache just trying to remember the first lie. So, at this point, the police officers are doing some digging, and they look into Universal Studios, where Casey said she worked. Employees there confirmed that Casey never worked there. Nice. So where was she all those times? But the police play along just so that Casey would embarrass herself. So the police take Casey to Universal Studios and ask her to point out who her boss was. She takes them through security into the back offices where she gets lost trying to find the office. She finally stops and tells them that she doesn't even work there. Okay, first off, I want to know, like, whether or not you're coming into the park, or I don't even know if it's a park, but I've never been to Universal Studios, but, like, the establishment and their security, like, even still, if you're with the cops, I don't know, like, they just let you through like that, especially to the back offices, like, they just let you through like that, even if you're with police, like, they would be like, okay, what does that have to do with her, right? If she doesn't work there. And wouldn't you have to show a badge stating that you work there and that the police are with you? I don't know. I don't understand. But that's just how my brain comprehends things. Like, if it was me, I'd be like, okay, can you show me your employee ID and stuff like that, right? Not just walk into the back offices. The police arrest Casey on July 16th, and she was charged with neglect of child, obstruction of justice, and making false statements. Cindy tells police about the car and a box of rotting pizza with maggots. She tries to dismiss the smell of what they said was, like, smelled like a dead body to rotting pizza. But the police are trying to push Cindy into telling them what the actual smell was. First off, man, this clearly, now I see where Casey's getting the lies from. She's getting it from the mother because, oh my god, like, how is it that, like, you go from it smells like a dead body to rotting pizza? And where did that even rotting pizza with maggots even come from, right? Like, they didn't even find that in the car. They said they found a trash bag. And they said they didn't look inside, so what? Anyways, the police decide to take the car in to get it searched by search dogs. The dogs detect a scent from the trunk. The police notice a small stain in the trunk. The stain was in the size of a small body. They took the carpet from the trunk out of the car and they tested the results. And when they came back, It was decomposition of a body, as well as strong chloroform. There was also hair, and when they did a DNA test on the hair, it came back to either Cindy, Casey, or Kaylee. The hair was longer than Casey's, untreated, uncolored, unlike Cindy's, which meant that the only person it would belong to was Kaylee. The hair was also what police called decomposition band, which is a dark band that forms when the body is decomposing. Investigators also took the family computer, and when they searched the computer, they found that someone had Googled how to make chloroform. The investigators then asked Cindy about the search they found, and Cindy tells them that she was trying to search for chlorophyll because the dogs are eating bamboo in the back, and she wanted to make sure it was non-toxic. So, yeah, clearly, this is just a roller coaster. And, like, what in the world is Cindy even rambling on about? Like, bamboo in the back and the dogs? Okay, whatever, lady. But, man, I'm sorry, it's so confusing with all the names. Cindy, Casey, Kaylee. Like, they're so similar that, like, I get it if you just need time to process. Because, trust me, I'm not even halfway. Through more digging, investigators find out that Cindy wasn't even home when the search was made. Casey was the only one home. Cindy goes to jail to visit Casey, because remember, she got locked up. And while there, she asks Casey what Zanny looked like. Cindy then tells Casey that the police told her how Casey couldn't pick Zanny out of a lineup. And Zanny, aka Zaneta, was a real person, just that Zanny was not. A few moments later, the real Zaneta filed a defamation lawsuit against Casey, and Cindy and George go and visit Casey after a month, and they tell her that people are saying that Kaylee is dead, to which Casey's response was, "Surprise, surprise." So, is that like a clue that Casey is guilty? Because who says that? What the fuck? Cindy asks Casey what her gut is telling her, and Casey responds with, "Kaylee is not far." Okay. Casey hires a man named Jose Baez as her attorney, who writes a letter to the sheriff's office stating that her willingness to cooperate with few enforcements after that the court judge sets her bail at $50,000. Casey's bail is paid, and she gets an electronic monitoring device, and at this point, news had gone out that she's out of jail, and her family home was filled with media. The public was outraged that Casey was released. Yeah, I don't blame them. Because, like, everyone wants to know, where is Kaylee, right? And, like, this girl cannot be trusted. August 29th, Casey was arrested again. Because she was caught writing 4 checks worth $650 without the person's permission. This time, her parents post a $500,000 bond, and Casey is released again. So, I can tell from right now, it seems that her mom is, like, in it with her, right? Like, her mom is, like, telling lies, too. So, it's like, were they working together, or, like, I don't know. I know, like, moms have that nurturing, loving side, but at the same time, it's like, man, how do you keep up with this, right? Like, how do you keep up with your child being like this? December 11th, 2008, less than a mile from the family home, a utility meter reader, wow, that was a mouthful, was working about 20 feet off the road when he saw what looked like a skull. He pokes at it with a stick, and sure enough, it was a skull. He proceeds to call 911. So the person, the utility reader person, actually found it and reported it 3 different times. He found it a couple months prior, and when he called about it, they didn't take him seriously. Then he called again, and he was told that somebody would come and check up on it. This time, he decides to check it out himself. He gets close to it and calls again. This time, a team comes out and, goes and search. You know, that's really sad, because it's like, come on, it's already traumatizing enough that this guy was just trying to do his job and he finds that. Like, I would be traumatized for life. I'd be like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, you know, like, and the fact that, like, law enforcement was not taking it seriously, like, that was a skull. Like, what the fuck, right? So the team goes out there and they see the skull and they realize that there was duct tape on it. And nearby was a bag that included the rest of the bones, a baby blanket with Winnie the Pooh and Piglet. And that blanket was in another bag. The investigators knew immediately it was the bones of a child. And the bag that had the Winnie the Pooh and Piglet blanket, it was in a laundry bag, by the way. Remember that. December 19th, police come forward and announce that the DNA testing confirmed that the remains belonged to Kaylee Anthony. Oh boy. The police get a warrant to search the house of the Anthonys, and they discover that Kaylee's room was a Winnie the Pooh themed room. In the house, they also found a twin bag to the laundry bag that was found at the scene. Through more research, they find out that the laundry bag was only sold in pairs, and in the Anthony household, there was only one. And I know there could be a lot of explanations like, oh, maybe like a neighbor gave them one because they didn't need to, or whatever the case may be, right? Or like, you know, when they probably had it when they were in Ohio, and when they moved down here, they were like, okay, we don't need another one. It's too much space. They could have thrown away and just kept one. There are lots of explanations on why they only had one. But Casey was now charged with first degree murder. And Cindy, oh, she did not want that happening. She wouldn't let Casey spend the rest of her life in prison, because for Cindy, this was like, she was the ride or die bitch, right? Like, she was like, no, Casey is not spending the rest of her life in jail. We're gonna figure this out. Now, George, remember him? Yeah, Casey's father? He didn't take it well. So whenever he brought it up to Cindy, saying that he knew that Casey was responsible for it, he just felt it in his guts, right? Like, when your guts, you just have that gut feeling that something's wrong. That's what George was feeling. But Cindy didn't want to hear a word of it, because she was like, no, like, hey, it can't be, you know. She didn't believe it. January of 2009, George wasn't doing well. He stayed in a hotel because I guess the family needed breaks. And I get it, because, you know, like, media and, like, after everything that's happened, like, I would want a break too. So he was staying in a hotel and he was mixing drugs and alcohol. And someone called the police to ask for a wellness check. Now, remember, wellness checks in the States is like when police come and just check up on you, right? Just to make sure everything's okay if people haven't heard from you in a while. So the police go and they find that George is trying to kill himself. And there was a suicide note that said, Kaylee, here I come. And you know what? That is really sad, because, like, first off, nobody knows what's happening, right? Casey's like, his own daughter is being charged with first-degree murder. He doesn't know what's happening. He was just a guy who went to go pick up his car, right? And there was just a smell, and, like, now police are involved, and, you know, like, and his wife is just not wanting to hear what he has to say. And who knows about the son? May 24th, 2011, the trials began. George and Cindy were not supposed to be there, but because they were the grandparents of Kaylee, they were only allowed to go into the courtroom if they promised that they can show that they don't show any emotion throughout the whole trial. That's hard, because this is like about a family member, and the accused is their own daughter, so that's hard, right? Like, even if it wasn't that, even if, like, just I feel like just being in the courtroom and stuff like that, that's hard not to show emotion, because a lot of stuff goes on. Now, Casey's trial was a shit show. Just a shit show. So, just listen. Sit tight. So during the trial, Casey's lies about having a nanny and working in Universal Studios was brought up. And then Casey's reasoning was that she learned to lie when she was 8 when George molested her. What? The proof, quote-unquote, to this was that Casey had never been to a gynecologist until she was 7 months pregnant. Now, because George couldn't show any emotion, this was really heartbreaking. Because first, he lost his granddaughter. Then his own daughter is trying to put all the blame on him in front of the whole courthouse. And he doesn't even know that he never even knew this was coming. And, like, now, next to him is Cindy, right? Now he's gonna lose his wife, because Cindy's looking at him in disgust, right? And although she's not, like, saying anything, because it's the courtroom and you can't really, you know, express your emotions, and remember, they were not even allowed to, just the look at him, like, that he got from her was that she's believing every word that Casey's saying, and now she's taking Casey's side. Now, George, remember, this is the first time he's hearing of this, so he's like, what the fuck, right? Like, in his mind, he's like, what in the actual fuck, right? Like, that's not even true, because that's another lie. Prosecution came and gave their theory that Casey Anthony killed her daughter by using chloroform to knock her unconscious, then used duct tape to cover her mouth and blocked her airway. Casey then wrapped Kaylee in her favorite blanket, put her body in the trunk of the car, and went to her boyfriend's. The next day, she took Kaylee's body out into the woods in a trash bag. And that was their theory. Now, the defense's story was that Cindy was at work and George and Casey were looking for Kaylee. And they said that George found Kaylee who drowned in the family pool and yelled at Casey saying, "Look what you've done. Your mother will never forgive you." Then George helped Casey dispose of the body. Another theory was that Kaylee accidentally drowned in the pool while Casey was watching her, and Casey must have freaked out and tried to dispose of the body but didn't realize what the heck she was doing. Man, these theories, I don't know. But they're not adding up, because poor George is just sitting there, right? And he's like, remember, this is the first time they're hearing this, and it's in front of everyone in this courthouse, right? And, like, he can't show any emotion. And, like, it's just, I don't know, like, what the fuck are these theories, right? And the fact that they're like, oh, and Casey didn't know what she was doing, Oh, I'm pretty sure this girl knew what she was doing when she came up with all these lies. I mean, like, she must have known or thought she was doing something that was, like, leading to the right path and that she was not gonna be in this situation, but, you know. So, at this point, George, while he's sitting there, he had his own theory in his mind, and he believed that Casey was giving Xanax to Kaylee. You know, Xanax, aka Zanny. Because remember, Zanny does not exist. To help her sleep, and while she slept, Casey could go out and party, which would also give her the freedom she wanted, and that Casey gave her too much Xanax, and she never woke up. Now, that is a very strong theory, and that could be it. Because if Zanny does not exist, Zanny, Xanax, and the whole, you know, thing, maybe George is on the right path. So, Casey's trial was a shit show. Her team was just putting the finger, like blaming everybody that was there, you know, like that could be responsible. Anybody but Casey. The jurors were talking about the case outside of the courthouse, which is actually not allowed. And when you sign up, or not really sign up, but like when you're chosen, they tell you, like, you're not supposed to talk about this and you're supposed to, like, sign a consent saying that you understand that this is not supposed to be spoken of outside of the courthouse, da 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 da. At least that's what they do in Canada. So, one juror was selling information to an online blog while everyone else is still talking about it outside of the courthouse. So, the biggest person that her team pointed the fingers at is George. So, even though there was nothing tying him to the actual crime, they all just said that George was the one who killed Kaylee. The trials went on for a very long time. So, July 5th, after 10 hours of deliberation, Casey Anthony was found. Are you ready for this? Not guilty. I said it. Not guilty. What the fuck? Casey is convicted of four misdemeanor charges of giving false information to law enforcement officers, and Judge Perry sentenced Casey 1 year in prison and $1,000 fine. But by this point, remember, Casey had already done time in prison, right? Because she was arrested already. So, Casey had already served 3 years. And she was on good behavior, so she was released from prison on July 17th, 2011. The judge also dropped the case involving her and the real Zaneta. Man, what the fuck? How do the jurors come up with the fact that she is not guilty? Ugh. It just, ugh. It bothers me so much. Like, and this is why I said the case is unsolved, because yeah, they actually don't know what happened to Kaylee, except for the fact that she was found dead. Poor girl. But like, what are your thoughts? Please tell me what are your thoughts, because right here I am sitting here, and the first time I heard this case, I was like, the bitch is guilty. The bitch is guilty. Has to be. What the fuck? But anyways, moving on. The jurors received death threats. Everyone was livid, and Casey filed for bankruptcy twice, and because she had no money to pay her lawyer. So, how does she pay him? Sexual favors. Someone in the law firm office reported walking in on Casey completely naked in her lawyer's office. And when Casey was released from prison, she took up photography because she wanted to become a private investigator. Huh, how convenient. Casey said that the reason why is because she is good at searching up information, looking up people, and gathering all the information she would need. I'm sure she is. I'm sure she is, because, I mean, what the fuck? I also feel like the only reason why she wants to be a PI is because then she'll actually get away with it. Because if they were ever to open this case, she could get away with it, because if she's a PI, she can hide it, right? At least that's just how I'm thinking, but again, I'm not a PI. I don't know how this stuff works. But, that's just the way I'm seeing it, hence why she's trying to go into this field. Because, like she said, she can get all the information she would need. So, Casey also did an interview saying that she remembered saying goodbye to her mom, then going back to sleep, and when she woke up, Kaylee was gone. What? What the fuck? But she told the cops that she took Kaylee with her to a business trip, remember? Cindy theorized that Casey must have had a seizure, which she's known to do, and Kaylee must have died. How? How though? Just because Casey had a seizure, but how did... But how? And how did everything fall into place? Like, how did she end up, like, where the utility meter thingy? And, like, how did everything just... It just doesn't make any sense. Casey also mentions in this interview she sleeps good at night. No worries. And that in 2017, Kaylee would have been 12 years old. The interviewer asked Casey what she thinks Kaylee would be like at this age, and Casey's response was a total badass. Listens to classic rock and play sports and will not take shit from anybody. The interviewer also asked Casey if she believes that George, her father, had something to do with Kaylee's disappearance. And Casey's response was that my father had Kaylee last. And in 2020, Casey said that she would be coming out with a tell-all book. Oh, yeah. Tell all. What, a book full of lies? Because, man, even Pinocchio could not lie like her. But anyways, this is the case of Casey Anthony and Kaylee Anthony. Let me know what you think. Tell me. Shoot me a message on Instagram at XXEELIMEXX. Or you can also DM me about different cases you would like me to cover. And yeah. But I think to me, Casey is guilty. That's just what I think. She has to be. Because, like, what the fuck? What is this lie? What is this lie? That she went back to sleep and then Kaylee was gone? What? And then she was saying how her father had Kaylee last, but she was telling the police how she took Kaylee with her to her quote-unquote business trip. I don't understand. What is the answer? Ugh, this case is so frustrating. And I'm sorry if it was a big roller coaster, but man, like I said, even Pinocchio couldn't come up with these lies. But I hope you enjoy it, and I am glad to be back. Until next time, bye!